bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News.
I think we have substantially concluded our negotiations. The Israeli cabinet is now going to meet and will make their decision during the course of the day.
That's Secretary of State Kissinger announcing that Israel and Egypt have reached tentative agreement on a new interim peace settlement in the Sinai. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Kissinger made his remarks after a long meeting with Israeli negotiators in Jerusalem. Bruno Wassertile was there when the meeting broke.
At the end of an all-night negotiating session, Secretary Kissinger and Foreign Minister Alon confirmed that the terms of an Egyptian-Israeli interim agreement have been reached and that the document will be brought before the Israeli cabinet for confirmation on Monday. The Secretary of State will wait for the cabinet to vote on the accord before leaving Israel. There's no question in anybody's mind here that the cabinet will do anything but confirm the agreement, which will be initialed immediately afterward and formally signed a few days later. Kissinger and the Israeli negotiating team looked remarkably fresh and happy after having deliberated on the fine points of the accord for more than 8 hours. The Secretary of State jovially cracked jokes with newsmen and said a few more days like that and he'd be ready for the men in the white coats to take him away. Bruno Wassertile for CBS News in Jerusalem.
Kissinger says he hopes to fly to Alexandria later on Monday for the Egyptian initialing of the peace agreement. The latest on a strike against National Airlines in a minute.
Oh, allergy again. I give up.
Don't give up. Somebody's finally done something new for you, the allergy victim.
It's about time.
This is it. New ARM, allergy relief medicine from Contac. A new way to live with your allergy. ARM works with a new high level of antihistamine. Just one ARM tablet helps provide hours of relief from the allergy symptoms you hate. Sneezing, itchy, weepy eyes, and runny nose. Even allergic sinus congestion. ARM is for better relief when allergy attacks.
Better relief when allergy attacks.
ARM. Allergy relief medicine. A new way to live with your allergy.
It's about time.
Take new ARM when needed, only as directed.
National Airlines has canceled all flights and pickets are up at Miami Airport after 1,200 flight attendants walked out an hour ago. The attendants had threatened to strike unless they got more money and better working conditions. A spokesman says the group has been working without a contract since February of last year. Negotiations aimed at averting the strike broke down in Washington Sunday night after 10 hours of talks officiated by a federal mediator. The strike will ground 360 flights every day, serving 18,000 passengers. It appears that a strike by West Virginia coal miners, now in its fourth week, will continue. Miners met throughout the state on Sunday, and indications are they rejected renewed requests by union leaders to go back to work and decided to wait and see if the federal government can mediate an end to the dispute. The miners are demanding the right to strike without threat of court injunctions. The union faces a $500,000 fine this coming Tuesday unless the men are back to work. Officials in northwestern Minnesota say a tornado blew a car off the road near Crookston Sunday night, killing the two people inside the car. Another twister touched down near New Folden, injuring a woman and damaging a farm. National Guardsmen have been called out in Wheeling, West Virginia, after flash floods killed an elderly man and forced evacuation of a city hospital. More than 4 inches of rain fell on Sunday. Now this message.
Parents of the nation, we've had it. The little ones have caught up to us, and we're ambushed. We've taught the little ones codes, ethics, and morality. What's right, what's wrong. What's good, what's bad. So stop getting sore when the young fries speak up.
Mommy, you'll live longer if you don't smoke.
You taught them to stand up for what's right. There's only one answer when the youngster in your life says,
Daddy, please don't smoke. It's bad for you.
That's it, folks. There's only one thing to do, and that's to kick the habit. For peace in the family, and for the sake of your lungs, quit smoking now. Your Lung Association and your children all agree.
It's a matter of life and death.
The International Monetary Fund begins its annual meeting Monday in Washington. On Sunday night, Treasury Secretary William Simon said that the fund's interim committee has decided to sell $4 billion worth of gold holdings. The proceeds of the sale will be used, he said, to set up a fund for lending money to the world's poorest developing countries. The launch of the second Viking spacecraft to Mars has been put off again, this time for at least 10 days. Blastoff was to have come on Monday. Space officials say a problem has developed in the craft's communication system, and the engineers are going to have to find out what caused it. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calling for morning fog or low clouds, becoming mostly sunny by afternoon tomorrow and Tuesday, and a little warmer. The highs near 70 and lows in the lower 50s. About a 10% chance of rain. Currently in downtown Seattle, it's 59 degrees, 58 at the airport. The barometer steady at 30.12. And taking a look at sports, Major League Baseball activity. In the National League, Pittsburgh beat Houston 9-6. Atlanta over Chicago 3-1 in the first game. Chicago won the second 9-8. St. Louis defeated Cincinnati 5-3. San Francisco edged Philadelphia 5-4. San Diego blanked Montreal 6-0. And Los Angeles beat the Mets 5-2. In the American League, Kansas City over the Yankees 7-0. Oakland defeating Boston by a score of 8-6. All other games rained out.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. You are standing in the doorway of the diabolic, the dangerous, the deadly. And in a minute or so, you will hear one of the strangest tales we've ever told. A story unlike any we have ever poured into your willing ears. Because this is a story about a man you knew only too well. A man who personified the diabolic, the dangerous, the deadly, to an entire generation. A man the world will never forget or forgive.
We're pumping too fast, Doctor.
Hey, look at his skin. He's turning purple.
Wait another minute. We must improve his heart action.
You'll kill him this way. He's too old to stand this.
Look. He's trying to speak.
Yes.
Yes, my Führer. Yes, I know. You are tired, my Führer.
Our mystery drama, The Rise and Fall of the Fourth Reich, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Henry Slessor and stars Robert Dryden and Paul Hecht. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
As a girl, I had certain aspirations for myself that were not quite the same as the aspirations that others had for me. Daddy, when I grow up, I want to be president.
That's nice, honey. Of what?
The United States.
Don't be ridiculous, dear. The best you can hope for is first lady.
Even when I got older, things weren't much better. Dad, I want to go to law school and have my own practice.
But, dear, wouldn't you rather go to charm school and have a big wedding?
But today, a woman can do anything a man can. Take the car I just bought, a Buick Century. Not cute, but sporty and good-looking. The kind of car only men are supposed to know about. When I told my father the Century was the only American-made mid-size car with a V6 engine, he was surprised. When I told him about the great deal I got on the Century, he was impressed and said, I would make somebody a good wife. Then when I told him I was running for Congress, he bit off the arm of his chair.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
This is Mexico City, a noisy, bustling city, full of people and automobile traffic. Right now, we're standing at the intersection of the Paseo de la Reforma and the Avenida de los Insurgentes. We're watching a black Thunderbird make its way down the avenue and then turn into the narrow, crazy quilt streets of the makeshift neighborhood they call the Ciudades Perdidas, one of the lost cities built by the squatters. There are two men in that automobile. One of them is a man of 71 years, and his name is Dr. Hans Bundeshoff. The other is a man who has many names, so we'll let him introduce himself.
You can call me Gunther. When I lived in London, I used the name George Brighton. When I lived in New York, I called myself... What's the difference? Now I'm in Mexico, and my name is Gunther Binder. And that's good enough.
Gunther, is that the building?
Yes, yes, looks like it.
Do you have the photograph with you?
Right here in the envelope. Yes, 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 that's the building, Doctor, but it looks empty, even abandoned.
If our information is correct, and if God is with us, there is still one occupant.
As we mounted the stairs of the ancient building, it was hard to believe that the information was correct, or that God was even aware of this dingy hovel on the edge of nowhere. But then we were at the door of the third floor back apartment, and it was obvious that no lock was necessary because no thief could be interested in what might lie behind that door. But we were very interested. We had spent a lifetime seeking it, or rather, seeking him.
Gunther. Gunther, look.
Dear Lord. He doesn't look alive.
Yes, yes, but he's breathing. You can see him breathe.
Doctor, how can we be sure? He doesn't look like... There's barely any resemblance.
He's 86 years old, Gunther. What did you expect?
But we are sure it's him?
There's no question of verification. It's him. The one we have sought for so long. I must try to speak to him.
He's unconscious. He won't hear you.
I must try. My Führer. My Führer. Can you hear me? My Führer. We have come to take you home.
But our work was just beginning. First, we emptied the trunk of our rented automobile, and I brought the heavy black suitcase containing Dr. Bundeschaft's apparatus up the three flights of rickety stairs. Fortunately, the man we had found in the third floor back apartment was the building's only occupant, so our thumping and bumping didn't disturb anyone, not even the man himself, who remained comatose throughout, his breathing growing more labored all the time.
We'll have to use the oxygen soon. I think he's suffering from cardiac insufficiency.
Are we too late, Doctor?
No. He's lasted this long. He'll last until we're ready. We'll have to clean up this place, too. It's filthy.
Our informant said there was an old lady who took care of him.
Yeah, I've seen her. She came around while we were bringing the trunks upstairs. She asked me about El Ciego.
El Ciego? That means the blind one. Is he blind?
Mm. Cataracts. Thick as bottles over both eyes. But don't worry, Gunther. We'll take care of that, too. Our Führer. We'll see again. Our Führer will see the coming glory.
What did you tell the old woman?
Something that didn't surprise her. I told her, él esté muerto. He is dead.
Él esté muerto. Yes, of course, the old lady believed it, and so did the rest of the world. Because our Führer had arranged it that way in one of the most subtly conceived and well-executed deceptions in history. A plan formulated long before the first excavation of the Führer bunker below the Chancellery. I remember that day in Berlin when the operative we called Leopard came up with the exciting news.
I'm telling you, it's true. I got the information straight from the engineer in charge of the construction.
But what happened? How did they find the tunnel?
They were making a foundation for a new apartment building in the Hansa Quarter, and the whole thing collapsed. That's how they uncovered it. 6 miles long, Gunther, leading straight from the Chancellery to what must have been a secret airfield.
That's just speculation.
Hear the rest of it. There's a barn at the site, or what's left of a barn. But there isn't any loft or stables or anything you might expect to find in a barn.
You mean it was used as a hangar?
Nobody wants to believe it. Not officially. Or they'll claim that Hitler never carried out his escape plan.
But you think otherwise.
What I believe is the Führer confided his true intentions only to Bormann and Goebbels. All the others in the bunker were kept in the dark so they could testify to the authorities about his so-called suicide and Viking funeral.
Good Lord. But the body in the blanket, the body that Heinz Linger burned...
It was a corpse that he burned, but not the corpse of Adolf Hitler.
I simply can't believe it.
You remember Bormann's statement that the face had to be covered because it was disfigured?
Yes.
Gunther, the face was covered because it was the face of some orderly, not the face of der Führer.
And now that face was in front of me. His face. The little square mustache gone. The black hair with its slanted lock across that famous forehead. Gone. The lips that had once blared out martial music loud enough to stir the world had vanished into a black, toothless hole. The eyes that had given hypnotic guidance to millions looked out blindly through thick, gray windows. I stared at that face, and I turned to Dr. Bundeschaft. Doctor, is it really possible? Can we make him smile again?
It is possible, Gunther. We can make him smile and feel happiness for the future. But first, we must make him understand.
Shall I increase the pressure, Doctor?
Yes. Slowly.
He doesn't seem to respond to anything. I'm not a physician. I know my opinion doesn't matter.
He's not in coma, Gunther. This condition of his is more resignation. He has stopped caring about being alive.
His skin color is changing.
More pressure, Gunther.
The needle is near the danger mark now.
More pressure, I say.
We are pumping too fast, Doctor. Look at his skin. He's turning purple.
Another minute. We must improve his heart action.
You'll kill him this way. He's too old to stand this.
He's trying to speak.
Estoy cansado.
What's he saying?
Quick, kill the pump.
Cansado.
It's not German.
No, Gunther. It isn't German. But don't forget, he's lived outside of Germany for 30 years.
What does he say?
He says that he is tired. Very tired. He wants us to leave him in peace. My Führer, listen to me.
Do you think he hears you?
Look at his eyes.
He's blind.
He knows someone is here, Gunther. My Führer.
Stay cansado.
Yes, my Führer. I know you are tired, but now you can sleep. And when you wake, we will give you the future.
It was another 24 hours before Stiller arrived. Stiller was a doctor, too, but he was able to do something that Dr. Bundeschaff could never do. He was an ophthalmologist, and he would apply his surgeon's skill to the cataracts that prevented our Führer from seeing the men who had come to restore him to power.
I'll do what I can, Hans. But don't expect me to perform miracles.
Well, why not, Stiller? We have performed one. We have found him.
It's not enough simply to remove the cataracts. He'll need to be fitted with special glasses.
Perhaps not. Not after our endocrine treatments.
Hans, you still persist in this dream.
I know what I have accomplished before. I know what I can accomplish now.
But this challenge is too great. A man of his age, in his condition...
I will need your assistance, Schiller. Gunther is a fine young man, but he lacks professional skill.
I'm an eye doctor, Hans. I know nothing about glands and hormones and all your other mysteries.
Please, Stiller, help me. Help me make it worthwhile for those eyes to see again.
All right, Hans. If you can believe in miracles, I suppose I can, too.
The operation was performed. From Stiller's point of view, it was a success. The gray clouds covering the old man's eyes were lifted. But it was only after new strength was pumped relentlessly into his bloodstream, after stimulants had excited the action of his heart and liver and pancreas and nervous system, did we see any reaction or result. And then the moment arrived. The moment when Adolf Hitler opened his eyes and spoke to us.
Who are you? Did you hear me? Who are you? What do you want of me?
We are your subjects.
What?
Your subjects, my Führer.
You are mad. You are all mad. I am no one. Let me alone. Let me die.
No, my Führer. You will not die.
Stop calling me that. My name is Marcus.
Please, listen to me carefully, my Führer. My name is Hans Bundeschaff. I am a doctor, an endocrinologist. I served your cause for many years. I have performed thousands of experiments on behalf of the Reich. Experiments probing into the very core of life itself.
Yeah, please. You must stop this. I will not hear more of this talk. These lies. I am nothing but an old man.
My Führer, please, hear me out. While you were bringing Germany victories on the battlefield, I was seeking victory in the laboratory. I failed, just as we all did.
Failed? We were betrayed.
Yes. Betrayed, of course. And out of that betrayal, we were defeated. But out of that defeat may now come victory.
Victory? What are you saying?
He speaks the truth, my Führer.
Who are you?
I am Gunther. Gunther Binder, your subject, too.
This is madness.
I know that I was too young to serve your cause when you first brought glory to our nation, but
But my father served it and died for it. And now I want to be part of the new glory.
New glory? What are you raving about? Lunatics!
Tell him, Doctor, please.
No, Gunther. You tell him.
All right, I will. My Führer, we have come to restore you to power.
As you can see, we have found ourselves in the middle of a horror story. A nightmare made all the more terrifying because of the reality that inspired it. But can Dr. Hans Bundeschaft make good on his incredible promise? Can a handful of men, even with the decayed body of a former tyrant, create a fourth Reich in the world? We'll be back shortly with Act Two.
I'm Hyman Brown, producer of Radio Mystery Theater, with congratulations for the third grand prize winner in our contest with Walt Disney World. She's Mrs. Edward C. Rita, who listens to Radio Mystery Theater in Fairbanks, Alaska, over station KFRB. There's still one more lucky winner to come, and it could be you. But you'll have to hurry. Our contest ends today, and entries must be received by Wednesday, September 3rd. If you are that last lucky grand prize winner, you'll fly first class with three family members or friends to Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. You'll stay at the Dutch Inn at Lake Buena Vista for 7 days and six nights, enjoying all the exciting rides and attractions, including Disney's bicentennial celebration, America on Parade. For runners-up, we also have 100 Mickey Mouse watches. But remember, our contest ends today. I'll be back right after this next act to tell you for the last time how you can enter.
Hello, everybody. This is Cousin Bruce Morrow for the Foundation Church. Now, these are troubled times. Not a lot of money around. Work's kind of tough to get. Apathy's here. We're disillusioned. Wondering what's going to go down next. Well, it's easy to go along with it, right? I mean, just sit around and say, who cares? You don't let the next guy worry about it. But does it have to be like this? Pride, dignity, truth, being straight with one another. Now, these qualities have not disappeared. They've just gone to sleep for a while, right? But now's the time to wake them up. Only we can do it. This message brought to you by the Foundation Church, 111 East 38th Street, New York, New York, zip 10016.
Strange things are taking place in a near-abandoned hovel on the edge of Mexico. The third-floor-back apartment has been converted into a clean, white box of a room filled with gleaming chrome apparatus and the smell of strong chemicals. But there is something more than medical progress being discussed. For the men who have gathered in this room are discussing surgery on the world.
Don't misunderstand, my Führer. We are not men of politics. We know there are others who can guide you better than we.
Politics? I know nothing of politics. Why should an old man know anything but the water he drinks, the food he puts into his mouth?
But you remember this much, my Führer. You remember that politics is power, nothing more.
Power? And is that what you offer me? Are you my army? My legions? Is this my new chancellery?
But we speak of a different power now.
There is only one power. Strength. And I have none. Look at me. I am old. Dying.
But the power we are talking about is strength. Strength, life, youth.
Youth? Now I know you are mad. You would make me young again?
Yes. Yes, my Führer. we can give you back the years that were lost in Germany when you so wisely escaped from Berlin.
We don't know how many years we can promise you or how much vitality we can restore. But it will suffice for your return to the fatherland.
Hans, look at him. His eyes.
Madness. All madness.
It is enough for now, Hans. Let him rest. You've troubled him enough.
We must make him understand. It's no good unless he realizes.
No. Stella is right. He has stopped listening to us. We will speak to him again. Later.
It was later, all right. Almost 2 weeks later, before we heard the voice of Adolf Hitler again. But Bundeschaft was a busy man during that two-week period. I had expected him to begin the testosterone treatments first, but instead he chose to administer massive doses of vitamins. And then he began a series of amphetamine injections whose effects he watched with concern for the stamina of Hitler's heart. But the Führer survived. And then Bundeschaft began the critical phase, the hormonal injections which he had used to restore temporary youth to gray-haired rodent veterans of the laboratory. Stiller and I watched the procedure in awe and skepticism.
A man isn't a rat, Hans. It's simply not the same thing.
We have had similar results with primate, Stiller. Don't tell me now that a man is not an ape.
I still cannot believe in this miracle of yours.
But he is stronger. You can see that for yourself. He grows stronger every day.
But will he grow younger?
We'll soon know.
And then, on the night of the 10th day, we were awakened by a horrendous cry.
My God! My God, what is it?
It's him!
The Führer! Must not be bound by existing legal regulations. The Führer is leader of the nation, supreme commander of the armed forces, head of government, supreme executive chief, supreme justice, and leader of the party.
He's out of his head.
Yes, my Führer, please, easy. Lie back. Lie back and relax.
I must conserve my strength.
Yes, that's right, you must.
My strength is the strength of Germany.
Seems to have gone back to sleep.
Yes. Yes, he sleeps. And this time, his dreams are brighter. Much brighter, Gunther.
Führer's dreams were brighter, but Dr. Bundeschaft's dream began to fade as the days wore on. Despite daily massive doses of the hormonal formula, there seemed to be little change in the years that lined the face of Adolf Hitler. And Stiller began to question whether the dream would ever be fully realized.
Hans, why do you persist? I was never convinced that your primate experiments were valid.
Everyone has been skeptical. Most of all myself. But I know it is true, Stiller.
You should have conducted other human experiments first. To begin with this
one. There could not be a more important beginning.
Or ending. Didn't you have many deaths? Even among your apes?
Yes, there were errors. A sudden change in the androgen balance can sometimes be dangerous.
And if such a change occurs now, what will you have? A dead old man?
No, this is one thing we must not have. Merely a dead old man.
And so the experiment went on day after day, until finally some improvement began to appear.
Blood pressure?
Almost in the normal range.
Red blood cell count?
Not much improvement yet.
Muscle tone?
That's hard to say, Doctor. Skin seems firmer to the touch, more elastic.
You see, Stiller, one improvement after another. Do you still think we will fail?
It's a question of time, Hans. But do you have enough time?
Yes, time. Time is the enemy. We're in a race. All right. We will double our efforts by doubling the dosages.
But that might kill him. The shock.
We will have to try, Gunther.
So we doubled the dosages. The risk was great, but Dr. Bundeshoff was encouraged by Hitler's ability to withstand the initial treatment. There was only one problem. The increased dosages seemed to affect his mind, and days of delirium followed.
Yeah, fools. All fools. Our enemies are enemies of themselves.
What is he saying, Gunther?
I can't make it out.
Britain. Britain is a dying empire. Dying. America is trying to be its heir. Russia wants the Balkans. Deprive them of the belief that victory is certain. We must show them that they can never reckon on our capitulation. Never, never.
Doctor, don't you think this is dangerous?
No. Let him carry on.
Smash the Americans. 45 German divisions.
His voice grows stronger.
Get me General Koller.
He may be unhinged, Doctor. Then all this would have been for nothing.
We must wait and see.
There must be no holding back now. No commander must hold back his forces. Disobedience will be punished by death. Koller, I hold you personally responsible. Do you understand?
What is he saying? Who are those people?
He commands generals who are gone.
I say that he's mad. I say this whole experiment is mad.
No, Stiller. The Führer only dreams. He must dream of yesterday before he can dream of tomorrow.
The second miracle took place that same day.
Here, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Lift him carefully.
Here, Doctor. Now, let me help you.
Sorry.
Are you sure it's all right to do this, Hans?
Yes. Yes, I think we can. All the life signs are encouraging. His pulse, his color, his blood pressure.
Even his eyes seem to be in better focus, Doctor. I think he's beginning to see us.
His lips are moving.
He does see us.
My Führer, can you hear me? Can you understand what I am saying? My Führer.
Who are you?
I told you my name. It is Bundeshoff.
You are German?
Yes. I am German. And I am a physician.
Why are you here? What is your purpose here?
My purpose is reincarnation, my Führer.
There is no such thing.
Then I will use the word rejuvenation.
You can make people young again.
It has been my goal for all the years of my life.
And where were you, Doctor, during the war?
I was assigned by the SS to Dachau to participate in the noble experiments of racial hygiene. But I convinced my superior, Dr. Sigmund Rosser, that I would be better utilized in research which would uncover the mysteries of the aging process.
I know of no such experiment.
It was to be Dr. Rosch's surprise present to you, my Führer. A gift such as no loyal subject had yet given you. The secret of eternal youth itself.
And so, what became of this gift?
Dr. Rosch abandoned the experiments after our early failures. Like Steinach and Voronoff before us, our efforts produced only short-lived improvement in the aged. We were forced to conclude that the testes of men were useful only in the formation of spermatozoa and the secretion of hormone.
Yeah, I understand nothing of this.
That even the synthesis of testosterone was of no great consequence, although testosterone was one of the chemicals I still employ in the process.
What process?
The process I developed in Stockholm, where I worked after the war. It's no magic formula, my Führer. It is a synergistic group of chemicals which I believe will eventually lead to an acceptable method of human rejuvenescence.
Is it true? Is what you say really true?
It is. It is all true, my Führer.
You can make me as I was.
We can do only so much.
But it will be enough for the cause. Enough to make the world tremble at your resurrection from the dead.
The world.
And when you make your reappearance at the proper time, in the proper place, it will be like a lightning bolt illuminating the planet.
That is our hope, my Führer. We wish it to be your hope, too.
Hope. But I had abandoned it 30 years ago.
But we bring you hope again, my Führer. Hope for a new beginning. The beginning of the next 1,000 years.
Tell us. Tell us your thoughts. Tell us what you wish.
Very well. I will tell you what I wish. I wish for something to eat.
And with those words, we knew that it was going to work. That our Führer was back among us again. That the day of the Fourth Reich had dawned.
The Fourth Reich sends shivers up and down your back, doesn't it? But the idea has created ecstasy in that small room in Mexico City as three men watch eagerly as Adolf Hitler dines. His appetite used to be greater. He could swallow whole countries at one sitting. Now he seems to be content with a bowl of soup. But if he has a new chance at power, well, let's wait and see what happens when I return with Act Three.
I'm High Brown, producer of the Mystery Theater, with news that our contest with Walt Disney World ends today. You can win an all-expense-paid 7-day, 6-night vacation trip for four to the vacation kingdom of the world near Orlando, Florida. You will fly first class, stay in the Dutch Inn at Lake Buena Vista, and enjoy all the fun-filled Disney attractions free, including Disney's bicentennial celebration, America on Parade. To enter, send your name and address to Mystery Theater, Post Office Box 1, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. A winner will be drawn at random. There are 400 Mickey Mouse watches as prizes also. Just send your name and address to Mystery Theater, P.O. Box 1, Radio City Station, New York. Contest void where prohibited. Employees of CBS and Walt Disney are not eligible. Entries must be received by September 3rd to be eligible for this final drawing. Winners will be notified by mail.
There's more to poverty than not having money.
It means you're hungry. It seems like everything you do is defeated before you ever start, you know. We can't sit and make a decision. Someone else makes our decisions for us.
And if money is not the whole problem, then it's not the whole solution either. That takes time, ideas, and most important, it takes people working together to determine their own needs, to solve their own problems.
That's right, people helping people and helping themselves at the same time.
People helping people. People helping themselves. Not the whole answer, but it's a good start.
It certainly proves a point that if you stick together, you get places.
The Campaign for Human Development, the United States Catholic Conference.
There are still exciting events occurring for Doctors Bundeschaff and Stiller and the young man who calls himself Gunther. The same excitement parents feel when their child takes his first hesitant step, because now Adolf Hitler is taking his.
Careful. Carefully now. Don't overdo it.
My limbs are still so weak.
Take my arm, my Führer.
No. I can do it alone. I must do it alone.
Good.
Now, only this far, my Führer. Just to the chair.
Yes, I can do it. There.
Ah, you did it. I knew you could.
And now I want to see a mirror.
A mirror?
You heard what I said. I wish to look at myself.
It's all right, Gunther. There's a mirror advisor in my bag. Let him look into that.
Yes, 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 of course. Ah, here it is.
Is that me?
Yes. Yes, my Führer. You can see how much you have changed since our arrival. How much firmer your flesh has become. How much improved the color of your skin is.
But I am still hairless.
Yes, yes. The hormonal treatments cannot restore your hair. If anything, they do the opposite.
But there is still something we can do about that. False hair.
A wig? Like a woman?
For the image, my Führer. Only for the sake of your image. A wig, a mustache, so that all those who see you will know and remember.
Yeah. Yeah. That must be done. For the sake of my people, I must return to my people the way they remember me.
Within the week, it was accomplished. Stiller found the appropriate adornments, a hairpiece that vaguely resembled Hitler's own. The mustache was easier to find. When we looked at the effect, we all shuddered in ecstasy. And when Hitler himself saw the image, it did as much for him as all of Bundeschaft's formulas and vitamins and injections. But the Führer became impatient.
Now, I tell you, I'm ready now. Your miracle has worked. Dr. Bundeschaft, you have done what you claimed you could do. Now I am ready to return to my people, to my country, to the world.
There must be no undue haste, my Führer. The timing of your appearance must be right. Tell him, Gunther.
It's true, my Führer. The entire movement must be carefully prepared for the putsch that will bring you back to power.
Then prepare them. Tell them I am here. I know they have been waiting for me as I waited for them for long, empty years after the war.
And they never dreamed that their talk would be led by their beloved Führer himself.
But now they must know.
They will, my Führer. In time they will. But the world has changed since you went into exile.
Fool! Do you think I managed to live to this age of mine? An outcast? A useless derelict? By feeding on the past? No. No, what sustained me was the future. Always the thought of the future.
That was wise.
For years after my exile, I considered the means whereby the Reich would rise again. I knew the day of great land armies was over and finished. Of armadas and armor and massive bombing. I knew that victory was now determined by a handful of excited atoms.
Yes. Yes, you are quite correct, my Führer.
That would be my plan of conquest for the Reich. My warriors would be atomic guerrillas.
Please, don't excite yourself.
Then tell them, Bundeschaft. Tell them I am ready.
Yes, my Führer. We will communicate with the Vaterland and tell them.
Dr. Stiller left us that afternoon. He had a serious operation to perform on the retina of a close friend. It didn't matter, however, his part in the experiment was over. Mine, though, was still important. I left the small room on a series of errands, shopping for the vegetable staples which constituted the diet of Adolf Hitler, buying pharmaceutical supplies and picking up a large, flat box at a tailor shop, whose proprietor seemed mystified by what he had just delivered into my hands. Here it is, Doctor.
Yes. Yes, it's perfect. Exactly what we wanted.
And now to find out how well it fits. 20 minutes later, Adolf Hitler was in full uniform.
He stepped out in front of us, a willing model, turning to give his audience the full benefit of the effect. His right hand was on his hip. The left, still useless from the bomb damage that had destroyed his nerves, was held rigidly at his side. An iron cross hung from the breast pocket, and there was a black, white, and red armband circling his left arm, the sign of the broken cross. But there was one other thing in the image before us, the most electrifying sight of all. Adolf Hitler was smiling.
They call you Günther?
Yes, my Führer.
I will call you Günther, too.
Thank you, my Führer.
You will be rewarded, Günther. You and Dr. Bundeschaff and Dr. Stiller, you will all three be at my side in the coming days of victory. You will be privileged to witness the birth of true peace in this world. True peace, Günther. You know what that is?
No, my Führer.
Not the peace of blind pacifists. Peace not supported on the palm leaf fans of tearful pacifist mourning women, but founded on the victorious sword of a lordly people that puts the world to work for a higher culture. Do you understand, Günther?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Why are you sweating? What's the matter?
It's nothing, sir. I am just overwhelmed.
My Führer, please, you must not excite yourself.
Steiner must counterattack the Russians. The Luftwaffe ground troops must be alerted.
Please, you must sit again. You stood too long.
I must sit down. And you, Günther, you must come here.
Go ahead, Günther.
Günther, kneel down.
Yes, my Führer. I am kneeling.
Günther, you must take this.
No, my Führer, not the Iron Cross. It is yours.
No. I wish you to have it. I wish you to have it from your Führer's own hand. For bravery in battle. For exemplifying the ideals of Aryan manhood. Here, Günther, my son. I give you... Wait. What is that?
What, my Führer?
This chain around your neck.
Only a chain, my Führer?
But this ornament hanging from it...
It's not an ornament, my Führer. It is a symbol. It is called the Star of David.
The Star of David? The Jewish Star of David?
It was given to me by my father. No, not from his hand directly. He was dead when I received it.
Bundeschaff! Bundeschaff! Do you hear this? You are harboring a traitor! A traitor!
The truth is, I took it from his body. I was only 5 years old at the time, but I had the sense to take it from him before it was taken by the guards at Auschwitz.
Bundeschaff! Do you hear? Kill him! Kill him! We are betrayed!
It's taken me 36 years to get here, my Führer. 36 years after my holiday in Auschwitz. 34 years after Dr. Russia froze my mother and father to death before my eyes. My naked mother and father lying on the ground while the guards poured water over their bodies and grumbled that they had to crack the ice before the water would pour.
Bundeschaff! Quickly! He means to hurt me!
Yes, I hear the sound of the cracking ice always in my ears, and the sound of that water splashing, and the sound of my mother's voice begging for a quicker death, begging for something that you won't be denied!
Günther!
Adolf!
Günther, stop, that's enough!
No, Doctor, not enough!
Bundeschaff! He has a knife!
A scalpel, Adolf! A scalpel for the final incision!
My God! Bundeschaff, help me. He
He has cut my wrist wide open. I am bleeding.
Gunther, why? Why did you do this?
Save me, Doctor. We have been betrayed once again. Betrayed by...
Gunther. Why couldn't you have waited? Why couldn't you let us bring him home and share your vengeance?
What are you saying? Bundashev. Not you, too. You are not part of this betrayal.
No. No, my Führer. Not part of a betrayal. Merely part of a revenge.
But I thought you were a good German. A loyal German.
Yes. Yes, I was that, my Führer. Until I was brought to your service in Dachau and learned what loyalty meant to those who served depraved animals.
The bleeding. Hey, stop, please, the bleeding.
No, Doctor, let it happen here and now.
But why? Why did you do this? Why did you give me back my strength, my hope? I was a dying old man. Why did you make me into this? Only to murder me.
You don't know. You don't understand, my Führer.
No. Why? Why?
Tell him, Gunther.
Who cared about destroying a dying old man? What good was our vengeance unless you had strength and hope? Now, do you understand, my Führer?
And so, Adolf Hitler dies, not in the bunker beneath the chancellery in Berlin, but in a dingy, deserted rooming house in Mexico City. There will be no Viking funeral for him this time. No obituaries, no mourners. Just a memory. A very bad memory. But one which no man can ever afford to forget. I'll be back shortly.
There's a special kind of beer. Maybe you know it. Budweiser. It was created nearly a century ago by people who really cared about things. Who took pride in brewing a quality beer, no matter what the cost. In time. In ingredients. In anything. Today, the people who brew the King of Beers still have that special pride. And every taste of Beechwood-aged Budweiser says so loud and clear. Hear it talking? Ah, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
You know, some people might find it hard to believe the story you've just heard, either because they can't accept the idea that Hitler might still be alive, or they can't accept the idea of rejuvenation. Well, I can't prove the first part, but I think I can support the second, because I know a prime example of rejuvenation. It's called radiodrama. We hope you agree. Our cast included Paul Hecht, Robert Dryden, Joe Silver, and Ken Harvey. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
It was a rough night, and I had to pay extra for oars. We were nigh on to Snake Island when a squall hit it suddenly, and we broached to, fighting the riptide. Well, that was when we lost him.
He fell overboard.
Oh, no, Sir Bills, it weren't exactly like that. There was lightning, as you know, and coming around the point of the island, all of a sudden, like, there was what you might call a illusion.
What kind of an illusion? The figure of a woman above the waterline?
Oh, no, not that one, Cher. This was an hand. A woman's hand that reached up from the water and that Mr. Philip bent over to grasp. And before we knew it, he was overboard and underwater and lost.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Agreement in the Sinai, apparently acceptable to both Israel and Egypt, needs only to be initialed by both sides. Secretary of State Kissinger expects that to occur within 24 hours. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Israel won't initial the accord until after a special Monday cabinet session in Jerusalem, but observers expect no hitch there. Kissinger, after an eight-hour negotiating session in Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin's office, said there is no more negotiating to be done. The Egyptians, who apparently approved the accord Sunday before Kissinger returned to Jerusalem from Alexandria, will initial the accord after the Israelis do so. Both Israel and Egyptian sources indicate the key provision in the settlement was for up to 200 American volunteers to operate at least two manned and possibly four unmanned early warning stations in the UN buffer zone between the Israeli and Egyptian lines east of the Suez Canal. The final formal signing of the agreement is expected in Geneva in a few days, possibly next Sunday. CBS News continues following this message.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
My grandfather used to take me to this forest years ago. He taught me to tell how old the trees were and to name them. Oh, my name is Will Gear, and I've grown older since then. But this forest is still here. In the past 30 years, we've cut forest fires in half because you listened and were careful. Thank you for saving my forest for me and my grandchildren.
A public service on behalf of the Forest Service, State Foresters, and the Ad Council.
Flight attendants struck National Airlines at 1 minute after midnight after last-minute efforts to achieve a new contract failed. The 1,300 flight attendants, all but 50 of them women, have worked without a wage increase since November 1971 and without a renewal of their contract since February of 1974. They sought higher wages and fringe benefits and improved working conditions. Flight Attendants Association Executive Committee member Mike Garko cited a charge and countercharge leading to the work stoppage.
The company reported that the flight attendants
simply want to close the airline down, and that's all. That they really were interested in only doing that. And, of course, that is not the case. What we're interested in doing is signing an equitable agreement. And apparently the company wanted to shut the airline down the whole time. They knew that they were going to shut it down. And because for them to take a strike on our proposal is ridiculous.
Garko said pickets have been scheduled at National Airlines facilities around the clock. United Mine Workers representatives plan to continue coal field meetings Monday in an effort to convince Wildcat strikers to go back to work. Some union leaders were cautiously optimistic after Saturday and Sunday gatherings that the three-week-old walkout would end at 12:01 a.m. Tuesday after the Labor Day holiday weekend. Still, leaders of the Wildcat stoppage in West Virginia reiterate their determination to keep some 60,000 miners out of the pits in eight states. Four more cases of sleeping sickness have been confirmed in Illinois, along with eight more suspected cases. CBS News reporter Chris Kelly has more on that story.
Since the outbreak, the worst in Illinois since 1933, officials have discovered 72 cases of encephalitis, but only 16 of them have been confirmed. The others are listed as probable or suspect. Most of the victims of the mosquito carry disease are in the Chicago metropolitan area, the first time encephalitis has been found here. And that concerns State Health Director Dr. Joyce Lashoff.
Our concern now is, if it's here, is it somewhere else? And is it going to crop up in some other areas? And if there were the mosquitoes and the birds that were harboring this virus in this general area, which is a highly concentrated population area, how many more people have been bitten who are still going to show up in the next few days?
So far, there have been three deaths in the state, and mosquito spraying efforts have been stepped up throughout Illinois. Chris Kelly, CBS News, Chicago.
More violence in Northern Ireland as gunmen killed a man when he came to the door of his home in the border town of Keady, about 40 miles southwest of Belfast. The Sunday night shooting brought to four the number of people killed in separate attacks in Northern Ireland in the past 48 hours. President Ford has named Labor Secretary John Dunlop as his personal representative at the funeral of former Irish President Eamon de Valera, who died Friday. The U.S. delegation will leave Washington Monday to attend the funeral in Ireland Tuesday morning. President Ford, at the presidential mountain retreat Camp David, is drafting a personal message of condolence to the De Valera family. It was only a simulated plane crash at Puerto Rico's Isla Verde Airport. The objective? To test civil defense procedures. But before it was all over, there were nine real victims. A civil defense spokesman said three people were treated for hysteria, one for diabetic shock, one for heart trouble, two for fainting, and two others for unidentified medical problems that developed after they witnessed what they believed to be a disaster. Mike Stanley, CBS News.